describe church planting? Well, the best definition of church planting is the word missions. Church planters are missionaries. Church planting is all about reaching the lost. If we plant a church with dynamic programs and worship and systems and structures, but we only draw other Christians, then we are simply stealing sheep. That's not church planting. That's simply rearranging Christians. The kingdom doesn't grow if we rearrange Christians. The kingdom is measured by souls being saved. That is how the kingdom is growing. So church planting is all about reaching the lost and the unchurched. We have to stop here for a moment and differentiate between the lost and the unchurched. For the sake of time, I'm going to make the scope of these two categories as broad as possible. The lost, I believe, is those who do not know Christ, those who are not following him. The unchurched are those who actually follow Christ, but for some other reason are not part of any church. There are many reasons why people are not part of church. Some have been hurt in church, others are offended, some are disillusioned, some have lost faith in structured church. There are many different reasons why people are not part of a church. Also in this category are those who passionately follow Jesus and are very committed in parachurch organizations and ministries, but themselves are very hesitant to join any structured form of church. Then there's also the nominal Christians and the lukewarm, and also just the backslidden. These are the unchurched. Then there is a third group, which I call the normal Christians. These are people that passionately follow Jesus. They are part of a established church within the community. They have no obvious issues with church, but they have a spiritual hunger. They want to grow closer with Jesus, and they maybe feel as if their current church do not facilitate or help them to grow closer to Christ. These people will also come to visit your church and may even join. These are the normal Christians. There are three different groups, and they have all different needs, and we have to approach them differently to meet those needs. Initially, as you are involved in the church plant, you will find, especially within our church model of church planting, that your core group will consist of mostly normal Christians. As a matter of fact, I remember when we planted in London, we started with 15 people, and most of those 15 people were old shofarites that came from different shofar congregations, and they were all forming a little small group in their community that had no shofar church, and they were looking for something else that the community and the churches within the community could not offer. And they were so excited. But that's how we normally plant churches. We have a core group consisting mostly of Christians, and especially old shofarites that have been through our encounter series. They've been through Bible school. They know our vision. They know our discipleship process. They are so excited and are praying and asking that God and the leadership of the church would send somebody so that a shofar church can be established within their community. Sometimes that core group is filled with friends of the old shofarites and even family members. I remember planting in Hermanus also with 15 people starting off. That core not only had old shofarites, but had an equal portion of friends and even family, parents of children who have been through shofar and whose lives have been changed. And they are so excited to hear that there's a shofar coming to their community. But what you will find that as you start your church with normal Christians, all three groups will come to visit and even join your church. Initially, your growth will be primarily with normal Christians. That is fine. That is normal. But never lose the focus. Our focus is to reach the lost and the unchurched. Don't get complacent with growth from Christians. Always be anxious and excited and strategizing around the idea of reaching the lost and the unsaved, because that is really what it's about. So it's taking that initial call, discipling them, equipping them, and sending them out to reach the lost in the unchurched that is going to make your plant successful and growing healthy. That brings us to another very important question. Whenever you're involved with a church plant, you will encounter this question, not just from the community, but even church leaders. Why another church? Are there not already enough churches in our community? Why must you plant another church? That is a very important question. You will definitely be asked this by the church leaders, and it is so important that you are able to give an answer. People want to know, are you here because you have seen an opportunity, or are you here because God has sent you? That's so important. Many church plants stand or fall because of this question. In past, when somebody planted a church in a community where there were only one or no churches, it wasn't controversial. But today, if you go to a place like Durban and plant a church in the inner city, that's a very important question. Why are you here? Why another church? That is important not just to have an answer for those who ask you. It's important that you have that answer for yourself. It is important for you. You must know why you are here. Why is that important? Well, in Psalm 127 verse 1, we read that unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers build in vain. And that is important. We need to know that we are in a community because God has sent us. That's what we need to know. The community needs to know that. And practically, well, the success of the plant depends on that. Is this an opportunity, or is this God building his church? Another reason why this is so important is because church planting is very difficult. And you will face many challenges in this adventure. That's partly why it's an adventure. But as you are facing the fear, the doubt, the challenges, and the opposition, the one thing that is going to carry you through is the word God has spoken to you. I remember in London dealing with so many people coming from South Africa to England. I have noted that so many people have come and made a decision based on open doors. So many Christians today pray and ask God, if it's your will, open a door for me. And if it's not your will, God, please close the door. Sadly, I found that we tend to replace hearing God's voice with circumstances. We want circumstances to dictate to us the will of God instead of patiently seeking God's face to hear his voice. I found that so many people came to England because a door opened, and then while they were in England for 3 months, they could not find work and employment, and they ran out of money, and they became depressed and started to doubt the ability to hear God. And I had to counsel so many people and ask them, how did you come to London? And they would all say, but they believe God sent them. And I would ask them, how? What did he say? And they said, yeah, but God opened doors for us and we came. And I'm not saying that God cannot speak through circumstances. He certainly does. But we should be careful not to replace hearing God's voice, his words spoken to us, with circumstances. You know what? I went to London not because there was an opportunity. I went to London because God spoke to me. I had a word in my heart. And when I arrived in England, circumstances did not dictate my actions, but the word of God did. It didn't matter what the circumstances was. It didn't matter whether the circumstances were favorable or against me. The only thing that mattered was, what did God say? That carried me through. If we don't have a word of God in our hearts, you know what? Circumstances will start to dictate our actions and decisions. But if we have a word of God in our heart, nothing will determine that except what God has said. And that is why it's so powerful to have a personal word for you in your church plant. It's also important to recognize the mood of the church at large towards church planting. Because how other people, and especially the church, feels about church planting can affect your idea and your passion towards church planting. I think if you ask a typical pastor, why does he not plant a church? He would have different reasons. Some of those may be valid and others may not. But it is important to know how people feel about church planting, because that is the community in which you plant, but also it will probably have an effect on your own view. Why don't you discuss in your groups what are the reasons you have experienced from others and maybe the reservations you have yourself towards church planting? Let's quickly discuss that with one another. Now read in your notes the section on common objections to church planting and discuss with one another what you have found most interesting. church planting is the most cost-effective way of winning the lost. The simplest explanation for this is that new congregations are formed around evangelism, and their focus is reaching the lost because they are small in number and they need to grow. And when you sit in a room of 15 people for the first time and you declare that we are planting the church, everybody's excited and their primary focus is how can we grow? As opposed to long established churches where internal institutional presses tend to focus more on meeting the needs of existing members and sustaining structures. When you start a church with 15 people, everybody gets excited when a new person joins. And everybody is focused and excited to see that person grow. And the primary focus is seeing church grow and the lost save. And that makes church planting so effective in reaching the lost. Because everybody gets involved, everybody's excited, and their aim is to see the kingdom grow. That's why church planting is the most cost-effective way of reaching the lost. That is what makes it so exciting to be part of, because you see how everybody takes ownership of church. Everybody gets involved, everybody's excited, and everybody celebrates a new member. It's easy to see the church grow when you're small. It's easy to be involved when you're small. It's easy to be excited when the lost is saved, and everybody is part of that.